We shall fight with growing confidence and growing strength in the air. We shall fight on the beaches. We shall fight on the landing grounds. We shall fight in the fields and in the streets. We shall never surrender until, in God's good time, the new world, with all its power and might, steps forth to the rescue and the liberation of people.
In times of universal deceit, truth is the only rebellion left.
On today's show, I talk about an article that's hot off the press from Newsweek, one in which I'm quoted. The title is, "Early Data Suggests Evangelicals in the Midwest Who Ditched Trump Cost Him the Election." I'm going to share with you what the article says, and then what I really said in the interview. I'm Dr. Everett Piper, and this is The Rebellion. Welcome to today's edition of The Rebellion. As I said in the introduction, the key topic for the day, at least during the first half of the show, is going to be a Newsweek article, one in which I'm quoted, that carries the title, "Evangelicals in the Midwest Who Ditched Trump Cost Him the Election." Now, I'm going to talk about this article. I'm going to share with you a lot of what it actually says, and then I'm going to embellish a bit and add to it by telling you and sharing with you exactly what I provided to Newsweek, my whole quote, my entire quote. Obviously, not all of it ended up in the article. But one of the things I'd like to talk about before we get into that, picking apart of the article and digesting it and dissecting it, is the very premise of the title, and that is, cost Donald Trump the election. The assumption, the premise to this article is that Donald Trump has lost the election. But as we sit here talking to one another via this radio program, via this podcast, Donald Trump has not officially lost this election, and Joe Biden has not officially won this election. North Carolina was just called today for President Trump and for Senator Tillis. That's a good thing. That changes the equation. That should be major news. Also, we know that Donald Trump is going to fight this all the way to the Supreme Court, and I would argue that's a good thing. Even if you're a progressive or a liberal or a Democrat, don't you want every legal vote counted? And don't you want every illegal vote discounted and thrown out? Why would you stand in the way and suggest that Donald Trump, or anybody else for that matter, shouldn't pursue this all the way to the Supreme Court if necessary, if that's what it takes to confirm in the minds of the American people and to affirm that this has been a fair election, an election where all legal votes are counted and all illegal votes are not? Why would you have problems with that? Why would you want to stop that? And why would you want to call the election before that takes place when you've got such a razor-thin margin in Michigan, Pennsylvania, Georgia? We had it in North Carolina, Arizona, Nevada. Yes, oh, I know, those have been called. Those states have been called for Joe Biden. By who? By the mainstream media, and they don't determine who wins elections. They don't declare the victor of elections in the United States. They report the facts of what's going on. At least they're supposed to. And the fact of the matter is, right now, the election is still up for grabs because the Trump campaign is disputing the way ballots are being counted in Michigan, in Pennsylvania, in Georgia, in Arizona, in Nevada, perhaps in Wisconsin. They're disputing this, and we need to be patient and wait for the facts. I don't care about your feelings. We need to wait for the facts. Now, back to the fact that Tillis was just declared the victor in North Carolina. Very good thing. Because that means that if the GOP holds the Senate in Alaska, which they should, and if they win one of the two runoff elections in Georgia, which they should win both, then the GOP will still be the majority in the Senate, and Mitch McConnell is the most powerful man in Washington, D.C. All very good things. And if you're a rational Democrat, you should even nod and say, that's not a bad thing. Joe Manchin, Senator Joe Manchin, a Democrat, would probably agree with what I'm saying right now, because he just came out today and said that even if there's a 50-50 split in the Senate, that he, as a Democrat, will not vote in favor of packing the Supreme Court and will not vote in favor of getting rid of the filibuster. Bless his heart. Bless Joe Manchin for being a man of integrity who recognizes that the competing powers within our constitutional republic are good and that we need a firewall, and that the Senate is that firewall against the hubris and arrogance of an executive, an overbearing oligarch and king who thinks he can impose his will on the American people. That's not the way this is set up. We need competing powers. And if we've got one-party rule, the competing power philosophy goes out the window. Thank the Lord that Joe Manchin recognizes that. Thank the Lord that Tillis has been declared the victor in North Carolina. And now we need to continue to pray and support, and give money to the two runoff elections in Georgia to make sure that we have a firewall against the executive branch here in the United States. And some of the insanity will be slowed down. Not all of it, but some of it. But let's go back to the Newsweek article. The assumption is that Donald Trump lost the election. So let's just play with the assumption here as I read parts of the article. Prior to the election in swing states, where lots of evangelicals vote, $140,000 worth of billboards contrasted biblical quotes with those of President Donald Trump. One had an image of Jesus on the left with the phrase, "Turn the other cheek," while on the other was a photo of Trump saying, "I'd like to punch him in the face." The signs were up in Michigan, Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, and more. With exit polls trickling in that suggest Trump's support among white evangelicals slipped around 5 percentage points nationwide, down to 76%, and more in a few battleground states, the coordinated effort among this group that makes up roughly one-fifth of the electorate, this group being evangelicals, might have ensured victory for Joe Biden. The billboards, part of a campaign dubbed "His Words Matter," were courtesy of Vote Common Good, which spent $2.5 million to defeat Trump and teamed with other organizations such as Faith 2020, Catholics for Biden, the New Moral Majority, and others. They went on bus tours, stopping in 41 states for rallies that drew as many as 250 evangelicals each. Stop. Stop right there. Did you hear what I just said? The article's making it sound like this is a big deal. They only spent $2.5 million to defeat Trump. They only spent $140,000 on these billboards nationwide. $140,000 nationwide. And in these 41 rallies that they had, this bus tour that they had, these 41 state rallies, they drew as many, I assume that means the maximum that they drew, as many as 250 people, evangelicals each. Does this sound like a big deal to you? Does it sound like there's a major groundswell of evangelicals against Donald Trump? No. If you can't get any more than 250 people to show up for your rally, then something's wrong. Something's desperately wrong. Anyway, I go on. They always made the local news, says the article. Well, big surprise there. The media is going to cover it and make it look like it's a bigger story than it really is. They always made the local news in television and newspapers. They mailed postcards to Republican voters in Michigan, urging them to vote against Trump, and they cut commercials with evangelicals pledging to do just that. So here's the thing. These groups that this article refers to, the New Moral Majority, Catholics for Biden, Faith 2020, Vote Common Good, His Words Matter, guess what? These are all leftist organizations. A lot of these organizations receive money from George Soros. Did you know that? That's who's funding all this stuff. It's called something. It's called Rent an Evangelical. They've actually said this. That's part of the left's strategy. Find these useful idiots that are willing to take our money for their parachurch organizations their ministries, their outreach efforts, buy them off by $100,000, $200,000, $500,000 gifts to their organizations. Now we've got them. We've got them. And we can twist and manipulate them with the power of the purse. It's called rent an evangelical. And shame on the evangelical church for letting this happen. Shame on them. These organizations like Vote Common Good and Catholics for Biden and the New Moral Majority are anything but organizations that represent the good news of the gospel, the evangel, the gospel of Jesus Christ. Their gospel is social justice. It's not biblical justice. Their gospel worships big government. It doesn't honor the God of the Bible. They're not evangelical, even though they call themselves that. Let's get back to the story. In Wisconsin, Trump is poised to lose by less than 1%, says this article, as is the case in Georgia and Pennsylvania, says this article. A little premature, but that's what it says. While the difference in Michigan is about 2%, in Kent County, Michigan, considered an evangelical stronghold, Biden earned 50,000 more votes than did Hillary Clinton 4 years earlier, ensuring it flipped from Republican in 2016 to Democrat in 2020. Vote Common Good, run by Minnesota pastor Doug Padgett. Stop right there. Doug Padgett does not believe in the inerrancy of the Bible. Doug Padgett is a leading emergent church pastor. He disparages the inerrancy of the word. Literally, he does. He disparages the inerrancy of the word. He does not believe in the authority of the Bible. He's embraced homosexual marriage because he doesn't believe the Bible speaks against it. Does this sound like an evangelical leader to you? But this article is portraying him as if he is. He founded Vote Common Good 2 years ago, long before Biden was the Democratic nominee for president, though it didn't matter who the contender was, in Doug Padgett's mind, says the article. All that mattered was defeating Trump. We targeted habitual Republican voters, like evangelicals and Catholics, Padgett told Newsweek. We knew if we moved votes just enough, we'd cut into his winnable margin, and we believe we had an impact. The article then shifts to a quote that I gave the Newsweek writer. Now, my full quote isn't included, and I'm going to share with you what it was. What they included is fine, it's accurate, it's just not complete. Here's what it says. Even those on the other side agree that such efforts paid off, such as Everett Piper, author of Not a Daycare, The Devastating Consequences of Abandoning Truth, and former president of Oklahoma Wesleyan University. It's indisputable that there was an organized effort from the evangelical left to unseat President Trump, he told Newsweek, singling out the group Pro-Life Evangelicals for Biden. That group circulated a petition explaining that while it disagrees with Biden and the Democrats on abortion, poverty also kills. So does lack of health care and smoking. Racism kills unless we quickly make major changes. Devastating the climate will kill tens of millions, says Pro-Life Evangelicals for Biden. Stop there. Stop there. That is such a vacuous statement. It's such a red herring. It makes no sense. It's such a distraction. So does lack of health care. Well, who said Republicans don't believe in health care? Who said that? I'm just curious. Can anybody raise their hand and tell me what Republican doesn't believe in health care? And smoking? Donald Trump doesn't smoke. And why would Republicans be more in favor of smoking than Democrats? I'm not too sure I get that one. Obama did smoke. Donald Trump doesn't. So where did that come from? Why would pro-life evangelicals, why would they be claiming that health care or a lack of health care kills, just like abortion does, and that smoking kills, just like abortion does, and that racism kills, just like abortion does, and that climate change will kill tens of millions if we don't do something about it? The implicit message there is that Republicans don't believe in health care, believe in smoking, and are racists, and that they're going to destroy the climate because they don't care about clean air and clean water. That is incredibly stupid. It's very much like that comment that I ventured yesterday with you, where I said this faculty member is claiming that somehow, somehow Joe Biden represents integrity and science and dignity and honor and truthfulness when he represents the exact opposite in his personal and public life. And it's crazy to suggest that somehow Joe Biden is on a higher moral plane or scientific plane or plane of honesty and truthfulness and integrity than Donald Trump or anybody else. He's not. He's not. And I've shared with you a lot of information that proves that he's not. So what in the world are you doing saying hallelujah and celebrating the election of a man who's currently been accused and being accused of digitally raping a woman? And somehow saying he represents decency and honor and integrity? How in the world can you support a man and claim that he's pro-science when he believes in the sex-switching nonsense of transgenderism and that somehow a 5-year-old boy should be allowed to have surgery to change his gender? That's not scientific. That's child abuse. And to deny the biological fact of a female is misogyny. And to deny that an infant who's 5 seconds before birth isn't a human being is anti-science too, by the way, Uncle Joe and my good friend, faculty member XYZ. I mean, come on. The same ruse is being pulled in this particular quote from pro-life evangelicals when they say, well, abortion kills and we're against that, but all, well, so does a lack of health care and so does smoking and racism kills and climate change is going to kill tens of millions if we don't get a handle on that. All of this suggests that Democrats are the only ones who care about this stuff and Republicans don't. The fact of the matter, it's just a difference in strategy and methods. It's not a difference in the actual message and meaning, the morality behind the debate. And that's the ruse, that's the fake that you always get from the left where they try to throw you off in the debate. Republicans believe in health care. Republicans aren't the ones going around smoking. Obama was. Republicans aren't racist. In fact, critical race theory is more latent with racism than any Republican agenda or person that I know. And with regard to climate change, you know what? The Republican solution to keeping the environment clean and useful for human progress and human flourishing is much more effective, especially for third world countries and those people in poverty, than this Green New Deal nonsense. Let's take a break right now, and when we get back, we'll get into the more of this article, and then I'll give you the exact quote that I did give, which gives you a little bit more perspective on my feelings and my attitude and my opinion with regard to this assumption that Donald Trump has lost, number one, and number two, that it's the evangelical vote that cost him that victory. Let's acknowledge our sponsors. We'll be right back in a minute. I'm Dr. Everett Piper, and this is The Rebellion. Okay, welcome back to The Rebellion. Because we only have a few minutes left, I want to get into the actual comments, the full text that I offered Newsweek when they called me and asked me questions, asked me to comment on this particular article. Here's what I actually did say. First, I was asked this question by Newsweek. Did the evangelical left cost Trump the election? My answer was this. It is indisputable that there was an organized effort from the evangelical left to unseat President Trump. Pro-life evangelicals for Biden, an oxymoron if there ever was one, is just one example of many. The Democrat strategy of renting an evangelical did pay off. When you have noted Christian leaders suckling at the Soros sow, you know the church has been corrupted. If it weren't for Christ's promise that in the end the gates of hell will not prevail against his true church, I'd suggest that the body of Christ just committed cultural suicide by naively handing the gun to its executioner. Newsweek then asked me this question. What issues are you referring to when you speak of cultural suicide, and why exactly will some evangelicals eventually have buyer's remorse with Biden? My answer. One example of cultural suicide is voting for leaders who have told you and promised you that they will impose laws that will be used against you. This is insane. Laws that will penalize you, silence you, and put you and your church and your college and your enterprise out of business. The Equality Act, for example, it's a prime example. Under penalty of law, all biblically Orthodox Christians and Jews will be required to compromise their faith and their churches and synagogues' teaching if the Equality Act is made law. And Pelosi and Biden have said it's the very first thing they will attend to in this new administration. Thank the Lord that the Senate can now stop that if we hold the majority in the Senate and McConnell becomes the most powerful man. If this isn't, by definition, self-harm and cultural suicide, I don't know what is. I go on and I say this. Here's a quote I gave them. As to your second question, why would evangelicals have buyer's remorse? Well, if they truly believe the Bible, if they truly believe the Bible is clear on the key moral issues of our day, if they truly believe the biblical narrative is true from Genesis to Revelation, which evangelicals are supposed to believe, okay? By definition, evangelicals are supposed to believe this stuff. If you don't believe this stuff, then you're not an evangelical. At least that used to be the case. Let me get back to my quote. Say, if they truly believe the biblical narrative is true from Genesis to Revelation, which by definition evangelicals are supposed to do, then they should have buyer's remorse. They should have remorse when government steals their private property, compromises human freedom, celebrates debauchery, silences dissent, dishonors women, and kills our youngest children. If the church doesn't have buyer's remorse over such things as this, then it has truly lost its savor, and it'll be thrown out and trampled underfoot by a culture that sees it as totally irrelevant. End of quote. Now, that's what I told Newsweek. Obviously, they can't put everything I say in an article. I don't hold them at fault for that, because I would take up half the article in my quote. But I want you to hear what I said, the context in which I said it, some of the details that I think were important that they left out, such as Christian leaders suckling at the Soros sow. It's a fact. The fact that people who are claiming to be evangelical aren't, like Doug Padgett, because by definition, an evangelical is supposed to embrace the inerrancy of the word, the evangel, the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ, the exclusivity of the Christian faith. Doug Padgett doesn't. These emergent pastors are not traditional evangelical pastors. So don't let people, whether it be Newsweek or otherwise, tell you that the evangelical vote cost Donald Trump the election. First of all, we don't know what the results of the election is yet. Second of all, if these people flipped away from Donald Trump because they think that smoking and health care and the Green New Deal are on the same moral plane as butchering our youngest children and selling their bodies for profit, if somehow these evangelicals that switched from Trump to Biden actually believe in that argument of moral equivalency, then God help their soul. God help their minds, because they're not thinking straight. It's asinine and crazy to suggest that somehow Republicans don't believe in health care, don't believe in a clean environment, and they don't believe in taking care of people. We just believe that the time-tested truths of history have proven that the best way to help people, give them health care, and to make sure the environment is the best it can possibly be for a free society and a flourishing human race, is to do it through human freedom and human culpability and responsibility rather than suckling at the Soros sow, i.e. big government. And we should all recognize the strategy of renting an evangelical, buying the voice of the church by finding people within the church that want Soros's money so badly that they will sell out their savior in order for that cash. And that, unfortunately, is the underlying story, to this Newsweek article. All of these organizations that they cite, Vote Common Good, Catholics for Joe Biden, pro-life evangelicals for Biden. All of these organizations are nothing but fronts for radical, progressive, leftist, big government, atheist, that's the irony, atheistic agendas, agendas that despise Christianity and what it has done to save Western civilization. They despise Christendom. They despise the Judeo-Christian ethic of the United States of America. Their goal is to gut all of those values from our culture and replace it with this moral nihilism that they somehow believe is going to allow all people to live the way they want to live. Well, it won't work that way. We've talked 100 times on this show about you cannot be free if there are no fences. These people believe that if you tear down all the fences, then everybody's going to enjoy the maximum amount of human freedom. And there's nothing in the course of human history that has ever proven that hypothesis to be true. It just doesn't work. It does not work. Pro-life evangelicals for Biden, an oxymoron if there ever was one. Evangelicals who believe that abortion and smoking are on the same moral plane? No, you don't believe that if you're truly an evangelical, because the Bible would never support such a ludicrous conclusion. Has the Democrat strategy of renting an evangelical paid off? Well, maybe in some measure, but I'll say it again. Thank the Lord that Mitch McConnell is likely going to be the most powerful man in Washington, D.C. I'm Dr. Everett Piper, and this is The Rebellion.